Hello, everyone. It's WDW Happy Hour here. I'm Catherine. I'm here with my fellow podcast members, Holly.
Hello.
Rob.
Greetings.
Scott.
Hi there.
And Matt.
Hello.
We have a fun show for you today. We haven't had like a traditional show this year, like a real like sit down, the five of us show, the Sound Trip review.
Really?
I don't think we have. I think we've had an unconventional schedule this year, and we might have a few more unconventional like weeks off in the next few months. But just bear with us, and we're gonna try to bring you all the latest and greatest. But today we're gonna start with the topping it off, as we always do. And Matt, you are topping us off this week.
I am. I actually uncharacteristically had a lot of things to choose from. So I am going to the Boardwalk, to a restaurant that Catherine and I got a chance to visit for the first time, after planning to go there multiple times over the past several years, finally, sticking with our guns, and that's at the Flying Fish. And I got a drink there that was awesome. It was the Vanilla Bean Manhattan. It is a little bit of a different take on a traditional Manhattan, which you typically have that cherry garnish. It's an orange peel, which makes it more similar to like an old fashioned, right? Old fashioned has the orange peel.
Yeah.
And it's bullet rye whiskey, Averna Amaro, and it just says vanilla bean as the ingredients. I didn't see him make it, so I didn't know if it was like a syrup or if it was just like vanilla extract, but it was delicious. I've had a few Manhattans and Old Fashions on property. I kind of gravitate to those as my mixed drinks, and this is probably one of the best Manhattans that I've ever had. At least on property. Yeah, it was really, really good. I think it was like, it was somewhere between 15 and
20 bucks.
$20.
That's standard for those names.
But no, it was really good. And our bartender was excellent.
Did you notice the vanilla?
Yeah.
It was just enough. Like, it wasn't like an overwhelming vanilla taste, but enough that it like, provides a little extra...
A subtle hint flavor.
A subtle hint of vanilla. Yeah, it was nice. I really liked it. It was good.
Good. Awesome.
Very good.
I might try it.
Yeah, you should.
Sounds good.
It is.
It looked good.
Sounds like a good winter drink.
Yeah.
Non-refresher.
Oh.
I don't know. I mean...
It's a rare occurrence.
I wouldn't necessarily say like a Manhattan or an Old Fashioned is like a refreshing drink.
Right.
It's more of like a...
Heavy. Hearty.
It's heartier. Hearty, it's a sipping drink, so no, I guess not refreshing, but delicious.
Good. All right. Awesome. All right, so we have a lot of news today. Rob, we're kicking it to you.
Okay. So first, these are in no particular order, so we're going to probably jump all over the place. So first thing was Bob Iger was at some sort of conference. I'll give it specifically. And these go back almost a month now because we haven't been together and haven't talked that much. So Morgan Stanley Technology, Media, and Telecom Conference, Iger spoke at length about the company's reorganization and positioning. And he made the comment that they have enough land to build 7 new full lands at its theme parks. And that got me thinking, that's not that much. When you consider all of the parks around, and he was referencing all the parks around the world. It's like... You could build a whole 7 lands at Disney World alone.
Right.
Isn't it weird? It's just a weird thing to say.
It seems like an arbitrary amount if he's talking about that on a global scale. Because when you said that, I immediately thought that he was just talking about at Walt Disney World.
No.
And I was like, yeah, that's old news. We know how much untapped land there is in that area. But he meant globally.
He said, we have 100... Let me start over. We have thousands of acres of land to develop. We could actually build 7 new full lands if we wanted to around the world, including the ability to increase the size of Disneyland in California, which everyone thinks is kind of landlocked, by 50%.
I think that he might be purposely being conservative there, but yeah, I mean, I don't think that's, I don't think that's really news. I mean, that makes not surprised.
I don't have it as a news topic, but they released some of the plans for Disneyland. Did anybody see the map of it?
I did.
It's wild.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
I think they're going to try and buy out some of those locations. So like
where is it expanding?
So
Harbor?
It looked like across the street on Harbor from the convention center. So if you came straight out of the conventions, don't they have a parking lot back there?
Yeah, I
don't
know. Toy Story. There's a Toy Story parking lot is back there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like they want to go there. And I don't know if they would build tunnels. I don't know.
Bridges.
Bridges. Yes. I don't know.
When he's saying land in this, are you reading that to be theme park? Because I'm hearing land, and I'm thinking like Pandora.
Yes.
Galaxy's Edge.
Correct. That's how I'm taking it.
So just an extension of an already existing theme park?
In the context of what he said. I mean, that's how I interpreted it.
Yeah. I mean, that's how...
Well, seven lands, that's one theme park. There's way more than one theme park worth
that's
of
what I'm saying.
Area. That's weird.
Yeah. Right? That's why I think that's a conservative thing, but... again, I see this as, like, non-news. You know, like, that's a statement for people that aren't plugged into the parks. That's a statement for general business, corporation, investors, blah, 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 to be we've got a lot of stuff we could still do.
I think it's him saying, you're not getting a new theme park anytime soon.
Really? Then it would only be lands.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm.
I
do not know how that would work in California.
You should look at the
Do you think they constantly make offers to those places just to buy I'm trying to think of some of the.
There's that the Red Line Inn is across from the convention center, and
and they built a lot of stuff on those two corners, where that CVS is. Yep. There's a Residence Inn that's fairly new.
Yeah, that whole block of the convention center.
But I'm thinking the other corner where. Yeah. DCA butts that's the back of Pixar Pier.
Yeah, there's a rent-a-car place there.
Yeah,
there's
Alpine
Hotel.
Yeah, but right across from there, you've got the Westin, which just opened not too recently.
It looked like they were taking more of if you went diagonal behind
Cars Land.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically. Where that 7-Eleven is.
Yeah.
But there's a couple motels behind, going towards the park.
Mm-hmm.
We're really in the weeds here. You wonder, do they just constantly make offers to those people? You ready to sell? To sell?
Here's my thought, and this may not be a popular thought. I think it's a waste of money to spend money on Disneyland. Because you don't own the resort hotels. You're basically built out, so you're having to buy property in order to build onto it. Why not just make Florida more attractive as a travel destination with more theme parks?
Interesting.
Because then you get the profit from the resort stays. I mean, you control... It's like vertical integration, whereas in California, I mean, sure, you might get more park guests, but you're not getting the visitor stuff. And people love Disneyland because of the nostalgia, not because of...
I don't know
all the innovation.
I don't know about that either. I mean, I think I don't know.
But certainly the resort hotel part has to play into that. Why would you spend more money if you're not even going to be able to make money off of the resorts?
Yeah, but they make a ton of money just off of the restaurants and parks itself.
I don't know.
I don't know. It seems like a waste of money to spend money on Disneyland. Hot take.
Spicy.
I disagree, but
you're a
firecracker. If you could spend $5 billion on Disney World to compete with Universal, that money you make that money back quicker than you make it in Disneyland.
Maybe.
And the city of Anaheim is fighting them.
Yeah,
it's a bigger battle certainly to expand Disneyland.
Yeah, I readily admit I'm a Florida first person. But it confuses me why you...
That's the spiciest take
of that statement is...
Over Disneyland? Absolutely.
No, just saying, out of context, I'm a Florida first person.
No, you know I mean parks. I mean...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
They need to do something with Disney World, opening up a fifth gate for crowd control purposes.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of pressure there to do that, but,
So, speaking of, good transition... So we got a little bit more details on the $60 billion in the 10-year investment plan that they have for parks and experiences. So this was in a filing. You could find it. It's like 110 pages.
You cover to cover that,
Rob? I read it. I dabbled.
Hi, Doug.
It's amazing how little they actually spend time on the parks, given that's where all their profits come from, and it's basically driving the rest of the company. So it's wild. But so the sixty billion over 10 years, 70% is earmarked for capacity expanding investments,
mm-hmm.
meaning new things. Of that, 20%. So of the 70,
mm-hmm.
no. Of the total.
Okay. 100. So bringing us up to 90.
20% is going to go to Cruise Line.
Okay.
Alone. It's how many? Who are all these people going on cruises? Like,
they're out there.
It's insane. I don't know like one's going to go to Asia and stuff like that, but it's just, it's crazy to me that yeah. they fill these ships every
me
single day.
Too.
And we're kind of insulated. We're not, no one at this table is really mm-hmm. cruisers.
No, I mean, I would, it's certainly something I want to do. But it's just, but like, there are people that go every year.
Yeah.
Instead of going to Disney World, they go on a cruise. And I'm sure I would thoroughly enjoy it, but
yeah.
it's not cheap compared to some of your
and
other
so then
options.
The remaining balance, the 10%.
So, okay, so that's 20% going to Cruise Line, 50% parks and resorts. So that's 70, and then the remaining 30 is destined for, quote, tech and maintenance, unquote.
Well, that makes sense.
Those are ride upgrades and...
Well, that's everything. That's infrastructure.
Upgrades, hopefully.
App upgrades, yeah.
Let us pray. Website upgrades. Stitch be eating that page.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Physical and digital infrastructure maintenance is like, that's costly, so I get it.
It would be interesting to know whether they consider, like, I would imagine they don't consider a ride update like Splash Mountain to Tiana's Bayou Adventure. That couldn't be a
that's not
expansion.
Capacity
that's
building.
Not capacity
no,
building.
It's just absorbing what Splash Mountain already could
so
handle.
The last capacity build we saw was what?
Tron?
Guardians of the Galaxy
Tron.
Or Tron? Tron.
Tron. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw people, they're like, it's weird that these numbers are just, it sounds like they still don't know what they're doing. Because the numbers are so, like, when you release these kinds of things, like, you should give the exact number. And it's, like, they're round. Like,
yeah, but, I mean, like, that's, there's nothing to hold them to these. I mean, like, that's fluid. This is a 10-year plan. Like, I know that.
But it was also in an SEC filing, so it's, you know, it's kind of...
Official.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Well, maybe that indicates that D23 will actually have some information this year instead of
you
the horrible lack of information we got last time.
They have to know that...
People were disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, all these... So, speaking of, so let me find... there's actually... Oh, God, I have so many tabs open here. they just announced... Why can't I find the damn thing? Sorry.
It's okay. We'll vamp.
permits. So, people found permits suggesting a major expansion at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
So, what they're doing is, it's a permit filed by Walt Disney Imagineering for a giant campus behind Cali River Rapids, which indicates that that's typically what they do whenever they... are going to do a major expansion. So they have to build that. So that's all those like temporary like trailers. And
mm-hmm.
it says a 300 vehicle parking lot.
So not necessarily expanding back that way, but to build up potentially the Dino Land space.
Correct. Because okay. they say there's a pedestrian bridge to Dino Land
yeah.
within this plan. And then the speculation is, are they going to make this announcement for the Animal Kingdom expansion at either the annual shareholder meeting on April 3rd, or wait till August for the D23 event. I think it'll be later. I haven't seen maybe they say like, oh, we're going to expand Animal Kingdom, but I don't think we'll get any details at
that. Is that really expanding Animal Kingdom?
No. Great. Great.
Yeah, right? I mean, if we're taking away Dinosaur and like replacing it, let's say, with Indy, which has been the rumor.
Yep.
I mean, they would need, if they're raising Dinoland, we got rid of Primeval World, and that's been gone now for what? Since COVID, right? I mean, that...
I think pre-COVID.
Yeah, and then we've got Triceratops Spin.
Hanging on.
So we would need to technically replace two rides, leaving Dinosaur out of the equation.
Correct. And nothing's going to change about the... It's a... Right. It's... So you go back to the budget. At that 50, like, where does that fall? I think they classify it as...
Adding expand because yeah. No one's back there right now. Unless you know dinosaur exists.
But nothing about the dinosaur, like, it's going to be the same vehicles.
Yeah, so same lines.
That is in fact what's happening. But,
right.
You know, it's all speculation.
I mean, they would have enough room. That Primeval World roller coaster goes into the back of the, like, the offstage area of the park that you could potentially put a large show building back there. Like, that could be a big space back there, but I guess we'll see.
And you know what? I mean, you do actually have area out that direction beyond... There's that gate there that you can go out, or that they had open, actually, in the either the marathon or the half marathon.
Yeah.
That area is not developed. I'm just looking at the map of Disney World. There's potential there that if you wanted to build out further, you could.
You would see the backside of Everest.
Yeah. I know. That backside of Everest is a tough view. That's like the back of Radiator Springs. But, like, you're not meant to see the park that way.
Yeah, if people are interested, just try and Google backside of Everest. It's kind of interesting. It's a square box, basically.
They do a really good job of, like, you never see it from that angle.
No.
Like, even, like, I'm trying to think, Magic Kingdom might be the one place you could, but, like, probably Splash Mountain, but you would never come out that way. It would be if you came out the other way of Splash Mountain that you'd be able to see it. They have it angled real nice.
I do often think about both Pandora and Galaxy's Edge, though, and the fact that those are so visible... From
the Galaxy's Edge.
Galaxy's Edge is tough. I mean, you that see is that bad. Before you see the park.
Yes.
Which, you know, I don't know what level of investment it would have taken to make that a 360 view, but they should have done it.
Yes, 100%.
For me, it doesn't take anything out of it because I think that's actually what space looks like.
Oh, yeah. Just all the pillars.
Just pylons and stuff. With little mountains on top.
Yeah, that's what I think. So
cool.
Doesn't ruin it for me.
Cool. Nice.
We'll stick in the building arena, and the president of Walt Disney Imagineering. Does anybody know who it was? It's the person's leaving.
No.
I didn't know her name. It's a woman.
Who is it?
Barbara Boza.
Okay.
Announced that she's leaving at the end of this month.
Oh, she'll be missed.
Yeah, she took over in. She joined in June 2020.
What a great time to come to the company.
And she came outside. Yeah,
she was an outside hire.
Yeah, yeah.
Where'd you come from?
She was the co-managing director principal of Gensler Los Angeles, which is a pretty well-known architecture firm out there. And I saw some interesting comments about this too. Of this was Chapek gave the Imagineering the edict of don't hire Disney fans. Yeah, which explains
great.
A lot.
Yeah. Great.
So the speculation is that, I guess, Bruce Vaughn, who got brought back in March of 2023, is going to take over the whole thing.
I like Bruce Vaughn.
Yeah. Yeah. So, because he was just co-lead. So they haven't
assistant
really
assistant to the yeah, traveling secretary.
Speculation is she was kind of forced out. So
the Chapek cabinet is the
rumor is Iger rode Tiana's,
mm-hmm.
and his feedback was, "This is very boring."
Oh
boy!
Mm.
Yeah.
Uh oh.
Yeah. So
they're ripping things out of ripping animatronics out of any leftover ride. It's gonna be like Bill Nye, Jamie Lee Curtis. We're gonna get like the Ellen animatronics in Tiana just because they had them left over.
But what do you think his level of familiarity was with Splash Mountain?
I don't think he'd been on it once or twice.
I would imagine he's been on it a couple times.
But the floor, I don't remember the California version that well, because I think I was only on it once. But the Florida version, I mean, there are like, it's a lot of just meandering.
Yeah,
like,
there,
you know.
But if you know anything about Splash Mountain, the lore of Splash Mountain is when America Sings, they took all those animatronics out of America Sings and put them in the showboat scene at the end. And that's why you have this amazing finale after you fall down and you got, you know, 40 animatronics on a showboat. It was such a big deal. And I mean, it is kind of impressive. So I feel like at least he knows that story. That story has to be in the back of his head, is like, there are a lot of animatronics on this ride.
And Rob,
I want more.
And Rob, I dare you to say in front of our Lord and Savior, Tony Baxter, that aspects of Splash Mountain are meandering.
No, I mean, there is. I mean, when you have some of those little dips outside, like, there's nothing there. It's
right.
Like, I mean, it's just, you get the surface of the mountain.
I feel like going on that ride, I'm too busy prepping myself. Okay, is the drop coming? Is the drop coming?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not worrying about, like, oh, look at that. Like, I don't know.
Same.
I'm just mentally preparing myself for it.
No, I'm fully just in my, like, own world. How do you do? Pleased to meet you. How do you do? I'm happy.
That's the rumor that's out there.
Okay. Interesting. I saw that there were Imagineers riding it in Disney World this week, which is, I mean, it's got to be coming soon.
Actually, a parent, she's currently down there in Disney World, and she sent, like, she posted a picture of them, or a video of them. I don't know how she got it, but...
You can go, you can walk right by it now.
Yeah, but people were on, I mean, people were on.
Yeah, they said it was Imagineers.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, I'll take a bit of a victory lap here. So we got confirmation of, we made prediction. We said, I think it was like the first episode of the new year, that they were building a new lounge for the DVC members. And so... my prediction was it was going to be in Disney Springs, and that is where it's going to be. Mm. It is not open yet, though.
Okay.
So I read this article. It's a welcome center that has models in it. It's in Town Center. It took over the old space that was Alex and Ani.
Mm.
And then the lounge is going to open later this year on the second floor.
I just would like to say that I was also right, in that I said that it was just not Animal Kingdom, which was what Matt said.
I'd be offended if I remembered what I said.
I said the Polynesian, but that just, I'm just holding out hope for something awesome being a Poly.
No, so. It was the whole thing, because I just said, I just think
just
Matt's
wrong.
Just
wanted to be Matt wrong.
Yeah, that's fair.
This, I'm trying to look at where this is. I
think it's in, I want to say, okay, making a guess. This is a guess, people. Don't give us a bad review, because I don't know. I think it's like in that little tiny strip where like, Melissa Shoes is like across from Frontera Cocina. Like there's like maybe 6 storefronts there. I think it's in that crew.
I see a reflection of Frontera Cocina.
I think, okay,
sign.
Okay, we're
there's
close.
A store of, there's a store called Melissa Shoes.
They're like nice Crocs.
Fancy Crocs.
They're plastic. I mean, they're rubber.
Some relation to Tom?
Melissa's shoes sounds like Christmas shoes to me, and that makes me hate them.
Sir, I want Melissa's shoes.
Yeah, it looks like, you know where, is that by Deluxe Burger?
I don't know.
It looks like I don't know. Whatever.
It's in that vector.
Why don't you guys name all of the places at Disney Springs that we can say whether or not we think it's by there. I'm funny.
So...
Matt will go to Disney Springs, have no idea where he is, though. That's, like, the other side of this coin, is, like, Rob and I are being annoyingly precise where this location is, and, like, we're like, okay, Matt, meet us over at Eat, the new Indian restaurant, it would take him an hour to find us.
Yeah, but I do preserve my sense of adventure.
Okay.
Everything's so exciting.
So we got the list of legends for the D23 event. So it's a fairly hearty list of mostly no, because I feel like at least the last three or four, it's always like you get your celebrities and then it's a lot, and not to discredit what those people, but you just don't know their names.
Yeah, you get a lot. Paz has been like half and half of people that aren't like household names. They're
Disney,
you know,
names.
They're behind the scenes impactful Disney players.
Yes. So, but this feels like it's more famous people than in the past. So we got, this is in alphabetical order. So Colleen Atwood, and I don't have a description of what these people, I believe she was costuming.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, Angela Bassett.
Okay.
So we got, are you looking these people up?
Yeah, I'm just, costuming for her. Obviously, I know Angela Bassett is a legend in her own right. Oh.
But for the Disney company?
Yeah, Black Panther.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Is that it, though?
I'm trying to think. Like, I would not associate her with Disney. 9-1-1, which is Hulu.
Uh-huh.
Good show.
How Stella Got Her Groove
Back. I was going to say, How Stella Got Her Groove Back is probably her
most. Is that Disney?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
All right, so then we got Martha Blanding. I believe she first black woman in some very senior role, like Walt Disney World Resort or something.
First ever black tour guide.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, that's cool.
There you go.
Yeah. James L. Brooks. Anybody know? I don't know that one. We got Catherine.
I have a very good friend by that exact same name. I don't think it's him, though. He is 83, and he is a director-producer. He did Mary Tyler Moore, Taxi, The Simpsons. That must be why. As good as it gets, he's got 3 Academy Awards, 21 Emmys, and a Golden Globe.
Damn, James.
Okay. Then we got James Cameron. Girl. That is not
no separate. No Google made it, baby.
My man is going to do a very long speech.
You think, or do you think he doesn't care? I think it could swing one way or another.
Will he show up?
Good question. He's probably over in Australia filming the 90th Avatar.
I've recorded a 40-minute
the doors are now locked.
Yeah.
You cannot leave. Put on these 3D glasses.
These 3D glasses for my inductee speech have descended from the ceiling.
It's still just him at the podium in 3D.
Yeah. Next to a Navi.
Sivako, James.
We love you, James. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, I'm shocked that she's not one already.
Freaky Friday.
They roll her up for everything.
Hold up. So she was... obviously in, Haunted Mansion now. She was in the pre-show to Ellen's
Energy
Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Well, I feel like
she's done voice work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like she has. I don't know for certain.
I get her and Sigourney Weaver.
They're very similar. Like, the short hair.
Because I was like, oh, she was in Avatar. No, that's Sigourney Weaver. An alien, that's Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I love Jamie Lee Curtis. Halloween's like one of my favorite horror movies.
Yeah, don't forget
now
we got all the Fox property stuff too. Yeah. So they're probably lumping that into it. So she was,
I don't know.
Now we got Miley Cyrus.
Oh. Hannah Montana.
Hannah Montana.
I'm surprised, I was thinking about this. I'm surprised they're like co-signing Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
I'm happy about it. I love Miley Cyrus, but like, I wonder if they're going to get her to perform. I would assume they're going to try if she goes, which I don't know. If she's in LA, why wouldn't she?
There's one person on this that I would love to see a perform. It's not really a performance, but we'll get to that person. So the last name, the rest of these we all know, Steve Ditko. I don't know.
Steve Ditko.
And I didn't even look at what his thing was. D I
That sounds like a Marvel guy.
Oh, we've got a Marvel comic artist.
Spider-Man?
Okay. Yeah. He's no longer alive. Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, creator of.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He created Doctor Strange.
That name popped up in my old comic book brain.
Yeah, that does sound familiar. Under Jack Kirby, he worked.
Is Jack Kirby in?
I think him and Stan Lee got in together. Wasn't he last time? Yeah. Weren't they a duo?
I think we were there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably arguably the most famous of the list, and shocking that he hasn't been a Disney legend, Harrison Ford.
Oh, yay.
So...
will he go?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he will go.
I think after the last... Indy, yeah.
He's
fine. I feel like he's... Yeah,
he's softened a little bit.
I feel like they offered this to him a couple of years ago.
With Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher. You're telling me they didn't want to get the three of them in the same class?
Yeah. It's... I wonder if he's turned it down and now he realizes he's at the twilight here.
He's got a little bit of an image problem.
Yeah.
He's crashed a plane or two.
It's at least two, right?
Yes.
If not more. Mark Henn.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
Legendary.
Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid. The Renaissance of Disney. Yeah. He was very involved as an animator.
Surprising not sooner.
Right? Truly. Like, because he's in that class with like Don Hahn and Don's in now.
Mm-hmm. Frank Oz.
Oh, that is the one I'd like to see perform as Gonzo and Yoda. Yeah, I would love to see Frank Oz perform more than Miley Cyrus.
Wow. Definitely.
I'd like to see Frank Oz sing The Climb as Gonzo.
Duet.
That would be my dream.
Kelly Ripa.
ABC legend, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get it, but she's annoying.
Regis-in?
Yeah, Regis-in,
I would assume. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That was
their bread and butter, baby.
They printed money with that, the show. Joe Rohde, closest person to the parks. So he put out a statement, he was there 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, Epcot was 1980. He was working on Dreamfinder back then.
Yeah. And then last but certainly not least, John Williams.
Is that who you want to see perform?
I would love to see him just do a medley of...
Oh.
Yeah.
What's your favorite John Williams work?
It's the Empire.
The Imperial March?
Yeah.
I have to say E.T. is my favorite.
E.T. is...
It's so underrated.
I'm like...
But they wouldn't do that for Disney.
I know. They wouldn't do Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Oh, that's another great one.
I was going to say, I'm like really torn between the main E.T. theme and Jurassic Park.
So the Universal ones.
He's still
don't forget Harry Potter. I mean, that's a...
Oh, yeah.
Hedwig's theme is a... That's a bop.
Yeah, he's
Jaws. Let's not forget Jaws.
I mean, he really is a legend.
But I'm looking at, because they usually do like some sort of, like Christina Aguilera performed when she was inducted. So,
a composer and a conductor, that's tough. You would have to have a full orchestra planned out. I mean, it would be sick. I know that. What was it? Was it at Comic-Con that John Williams did a surprise...
Concert.
Was it all Star Wars, though?
Yeah, it was the Star Wars concert.
I mean, I just think that would be so cool to see him, like, conducting an orchestra.
Yeah. I don't think it's out of the question.
It'd be cool, yeah.
I mean, think about what
they have the space now.
Right, that's for Tiana's Bayou Adventure last year. They had a lot of people on that stage. And the Captain America musical thing they did.
That's true.
Like, they had a lot of, like, dancers and performers out on the stage last year. So they could definitely do it.
I like that only Rob named a John Williams work of... Oh, indie. Right.
Have Harrison Ford walk out to John Williams conducting and get his legend.
Of course.
And then Frank Oz as Yoda do some, like...
Do the climb.
Do the...
do Wrecking Ball as Yoda.
Yeah, happy...
Wrecking Ball came in and I asked...
Wrecking Ball you came in as.
Oh my god.
That's that thing where I make a joke and then you make it better.
But you didn't do the yoga voice.
He took a 7 and made it a 9.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm not mad about it.
So 14 people going in.
Isn't Frank Oz also Miss Piggy?
I thought that Henson was originally Miss Piggy.
Henson was Kermit, dog.
Sorry.
I'm pretty sure. He is. Yeah, Fozzie, Piggy, Sam Eagle, Yoda. I mean, Bert, Cookie Monster. Yeah, he's got some. Wow. Grover.
Aww. I want to see him do Cookie Monster.
Yeah, Cookie Monster would be a good one. Wow, he is real. Legend. I'm shocked he isn't already in there.
Yeah.
So that brings us to, we got a ton of details on the D23. So it's no longer Expo. It's D23, the Ultimate Disney Fan Experience, presented by Visa.
I was wondering why you said earlier in the podcast, you had said the D23 event, and I was wondering why it seemed like you purposely didn't say Expo, and I was just wondering if
that I don't care
Rob's gonna correct us in real life for the next 6 months going, Catherine, do you mean the Ultimate Fan Event presented by Visa?
You make sure you get the corporate sponsorship then. Visa really needs
labels
it
out.
So we knew that they were doing separate events at the Honda Center, which is the arena for the Anaheim Mighty Ducks.
Do they still call them the Mighty Ducks?
Or is it just the Ducks? Just the Ducks. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Presented by Visa.
So we got details. So they're doing the traditional convention center activities all day on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But now on Friday night, they're doing Disney Entertainment Showcase is what they're calling it, which I would assume is all TV, movies, Disney Plus, you name it, is going to be, that could be a lengthy presentation. And then Saturday night is Disney Experiences Showcase.
Parks.
So they, yeah, parks. They better,
cruise.
They better have some announcements for that. And then they're doing Sunday night, the Legends Ceremony, which is,
usually different than past
years.
That's
usually the first thing. That is usually the first thing that happens.
Yes.
We usually like to save our discussions, which we know we'll cover on the podcast. Like, there's a lot of times where we're like, save it for the pod. But, like, since we're also in the process of, like, planning how we want to, like, approach potentially attending this event, we've naturally been talking about it off mic. And man, I'm just so, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I know that we're all a little bit put off by this structure, and we'll get to it. Is there more to cover on this, though?
So it says highlights of what's new. So they're doing a D23 day at Disneyland Resort the Thursday before. So the expo runs Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This is on Thursday. So I thought they were going to do like a ticketed event at night or something. It's not. What they're going to do is basically have special character meets and different things in the parks. Now, I don't know if you'll need to show expo tickets or to partake in those kinds of things. I don't know. They haven't released that. So they're saying it's the largest, most expansive show floor in D23 history at the Anaheim Convention Center. So I'm assuming all that area that would have been taken for Hall D23 is now going
to be part of the show floor.
Yeah, whatever that. I don't know. It says expanded shopping experience. Then they have D23 day at Angel Stadium on Sunday, August 4th. So
let's go, baby.
Did you see the bobblehead they're giving out or the figurine?
No. I didn't.
Yeah, it's a D23 Mickey Mouse as a baseball player.
Aww.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
First 23,000 fans.
Who are they playing?
Some stinky team from New York.
That's the Mets, baby. That's my stinky team.
The less successful one.
As Rob sits across from me at this table, just positively decked out in Philadelphia Phillies gear.
Full Phillies regalia.
Say, the Phils are going to be out there, too.
That is correct. At Dodger Stadium. But not part of this. Mm-mm. This is the...
No, it's a classy affair.
Wow.
And then it says... Oh, I thought we were pausing. D23 Fantastic Prizes Sweepstakes. The biggest company-wide sweepstakes in Disney history.
What does that mean?
I don't know. That's the first time I'm reading those words together.
A sweepstakes. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh.
I'm reading through. So the show floor... I guess the big thing, like last time they had...
Walt's plane.
The plane. So it says, a first of its kind exhibition from the Walt Disney archives entitled, quote, A Great Big Beautiful Car Show, unquote.
Oh, did you see this on Instagram?
I did not.
Okay, so they released four, like, classic Disney cars. The one is, I think, a tram vehicle. Then you have Sharpay Evans' car from High School Musical.
Oh, which is, I mean, that's a big deal for me.
I want to say, I was actually going to send it to Scott because it has the initials SE on the front of it. And I was like, oh, Scott, you can have this car. It looks like a Barbie car, but it has Sharpay's initials.
Sounds nice.
In the front. And then they have, I want to say, see, okay. Oh, great for an audio medium. Cruella De Vil's car from the Glenn Close version. And then you have a tram vehicle. So, I mean, come on. We got to get Herbie in there, right?
That's what I was going to say.
They stroll Herbie out for anything.
That was going to be my first guess.
Yeah, right.
And Scott, I should say, I like to view you as the Ashley Tisdale of the podcast.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment.
You're welcome.
But, yeah, so... I'm assuming they'll just take that, what they call the arena, and put the cars in the arena.
You would think. One would think. Yeah. But now, that was a lot of real estate for that Hall D23, so...
Hopefully it'll mean the lines for, like, the on like the floor stuff will be shorter. Because I really like doing the archive stuff, and that was, like, I feel like that line did not quit last time. Like, that was...
What was it, Was it Disneyland stuff?
Yes. I'm getting it confused with when they had, like, the ride vehicles. But it was something I was really interested in. And I remember, like, the last day I was like, I guess I'm waiting for this. Because this is, like,
They had Pirates. Was it 2 years ago? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would have been 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Or... Yeah, so... tickets go on sale Tuesday. Impressions are this is more well organized. They already put out a guide for buying tickets, an online, like, to go through the screens, which I feel like is a step forward
than last time where it was,
but it's just it's going to be interesting to people are freaks and they'll go, but it's just the logistics of, you know, asking people to spend an entire day at the convention center and then travel several miles. It's
wild.
I mean, is it walkable? Yes. Do you want to walk if it's 100 degrees? No. You know.
Or at night? At 9 o'clock? Like, you're going to get out of here at 9:30. You want to walk under the highway? Under the 5? I mean, that's how you get to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Didn't we run by there during the half marathon?
It is basically the turnaround point of the half marathon. So
it's a hike.
It's 5-6 miles out.
I've never heard of a convention that's had this kind of split structure, but like kind of the convenience, so to speak, of like a convention is that you've got all of it under one roof. That's why these gigantic convention centers are created, like the same, whether it's San Diego, Anaheim, Orlando, like, you should be able to put all of your, you know, merchandising and all of those pop-ups, a bunch of events, and your big ticketed events. So, like, to spread this out to the Honda Center?
Yeah, the Honda Center.
It's not, like, it's not across the street. Like, I would understand if it was, like, a less than a quarter of a mile away. And then I'd be like, okay, that's not really, like, logistically, that's not a huge hurdle. But, like, this is not close. And it traverses a major highway. Like, yeah. It's just, like...
You're going to have to take a ride there, and that's going to be a whole...
Oh, and just think about, like, just think
that
about...
That gives me the shivers thinking about what that's going to be like
what
after.
What are those Uber surge those prices going
to
look like?
Your Uber for 5 miles is going to be $374.
Convention fatigue also. It's just, like, yeah. You spend a whole day walking around the convention center, like, you're going to be beat. And then you're like, all right, and now I have to plan if I want to, you know, trek 2 miles or whatever over to another location and then... queue up again, and this is new ground for this event, so, like, do they have their crap together over there?
The answer, no.
it seems like a headache, and I don't know, I mean...
I think they're trying to overcome probably the biggest complaint they get, and it's the limited access of the biggest panels.
Well... That's a convention.
Yeah.
Not everybody gets into the Game of Thrones at San Diego Comic-Con. The room only fits 6,000 people. I mean, that's just how it is.
Yeah, sadly. Sorry. That's how it happens. Like, and, yeah, I just think that in trying to solve that problem, they've made a bigger problem. And it's stupid.
it's a three mile from the convention to the Honda Center, a 1 hour and 15 minute walk.
Pass.
And that's to the convention center. That's not even a Disneyland, which
in
is
August,
like,
in Anaheim, whew, it is hot.
It is
yeah,
hot.
Okay, and so then let's say they've got some kind of tram set
they
up.
They said they're gonna run but okay. How do you get thousands of people that place? Okay,
it's
19,000 closing off behind the stage. Yeah, so it'll be less than that, 17, 16, 7, but then you got the floor, so it's probably 19. Yeah, it's not a location, like, Disneyland isn't a place where people, like, if it's Florida, okay, a lot of people will rent cars.
Yeah.
You know, and you could, okay, have a car, but Disneyland's not that kind of resort.
$100 an hour parking at the Honda Center.
Yeah. It's gonna be, yeah. I'm not psyched up about that at all. All
right. Well, I'm sure more. Well,
the thing that is helping me sleep at night, which I think we kind of alluded to earlier, is that, like, the movie/Disney+ panel was incredibly disappointing last year, and the parks panel was terrible. But at least with the parks panel, it can be live streamed. You can watch it as it's happening. Like, so what are you really missing out on? Okay, you won't see, like, the previews for Moana 2 or whatever's coming. Yeah. It's the movie one that you won't know what's happening. Like, you will be fully unaware unless you're in that room. But, like, and the Legends, you always find out what happens at the Legends within 1 minute of it happening if you're on Twitter or it's being live streamed on YouTube or something. So... I think I'll be able to sleep okay.
Yeah, I don't feel particularly compelled to do the whole song and dance.
Maybe, to be honest, like, the Grand Californian, the Knights of the Grand Californian is kind of like my highlight.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
We won't be able to do that.
At 7 p.m., that's prime celebrity spotting time.
All right, so just a few more things here. Disney Plus is going to have a new special, parks oriented. It's going to be called Epcot Becoming. And so it's a National Geographic special that's originally going to air on National Geographic first. And it's around the parks transformation.
Cool.
Sounds like an ad.
What's that?
Sounds like an ad.
Yeah, it premieres.
Are you going to have Stacey do it?
It premieres April 29th at 10 o'clock on National Geographic. I didn't even know that's still a channel.
Well,
I don't even know if I get that channel.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And then it says it'll go to Disney+ and Hulu later, whatever that means. So it's going to showcase the reimagining of Epcot for a new generation. Watches Walt Disney World Resort teams rise to the challenge of bringing the constantly evolving park into the future. From creating an innovative new coaster to exploring the wonder of water and culminating with the debut of the new legacy in nighttime spectaculars, Luminous, the Symphony of Us.
See about go.
Rise to the challenge.
I enjoy
these kinds of specials.
I will watch when it's park oriented.
Oh
I enjoy
my god, it. That Velocicoaster special on I think it's Hulu. Oh, so good. It can't be Hulu. Can it? No, it can't be. I don't know what Universal streaming service would be. HBO? Maybe HBO.
Universal would be Peacock.
Okay. And Peacock. Yeah, that makes sense.
So we'll stay in Epcot. We got an opening date for Communicore Hall and details of a new Encanto stage show. So Communicore Hall and Plaza will open June 10th, 2024 at Epcot. So this is the part which would have been the old Starbucks area, for lack of a better, right?
Inventions, the other side.
Yeah. The meet and greet with characters is coming back. And so they're doing a Encanto show that will go off several times a day, featuring sing-alongs, favorite songs from the movie. Maribel and Bruno will be appearing.
Rob, what are your favorite songs from the movie?
He likes the
We don't talk about Bruno.
You haven't even watched it.
I know, I haven't watched it.
I don't know.
He only knows the ones that are on TikTok. He told me that the man of my dreams.
Oh, that's what I don't even know.
That's
an Encanto. That's an Encanto.
It says the surrounding Communicore Plaza will feature a garden with space to view entertainment from a covered performance stage and seating for nearby festival food and drink kiosks.
That's what I want. We need nearby festival food and drink kiosks.
So I wasn't here for the discussion of Flower and Garden.
Mm.
Were there any kiosks up in that area?
No, not as of yet.
No. Maybe you said it and I just forget, but...
I don't know if we did, but...
Well, there's a lot of additional seating area around there.
Yeah.
And it does very much seem like... And they just basically confirmed it, that there will be planned kiosks up there, but not yet.
And, you know, that little... pathway that connects like Imagination to Canada, that's been the park has been closed for a long time. They used to have like the cheese and chocolate over there, like,
well yeah, and that's what we had talked about, that Florida Fresh was supposed to be there but was not there. It was over in the Odyssey.
Yeah, that's
last minute.
Yeah, or Citrus Blossom. I don't know, one of those things,
right?
I mean, even that would be close enough that, like, if the stage... I'm having a hard time visualizing how this hall's... Like, is the stage going to face, like, that area, like, that path? Or... Because it seems like it's kind of, like, open.
I'm trying to determine based on these concept art photos. And I'm thinking this... I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. It looks like the stage is going to be where Club Cool used to be. On that. I don't know if it's going to be facing
like the Imagination
Sound Pavilion or facing inward.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well.
Yeah. And then lastly, we got a info on a new drone show coming to Disney Springs.
I like this.
At Walt Disney World. Summer of 2024. It's called Disney Dreams That Soar. And it's saying they use the word late night perk for visitors to Disney Springs. Taking place over the Disney Springs Lake, Disney Dreams That Soar will showcase Disney stories celebrating the joy of flight with state-of-the-art drones choreographed to create designs in the sky and paired with a quote-unquote soaring musical score and memorable movie quotes. But it's going to run nightly from May 24th through September 2nd. That's it.
I think this is what we wanted from Harmonious, the Symphony of Us. I think that's what this is going to be.
Never mind, I'm not even going to ask it. so this is, I'm assuming, going to be like how the Christmas one was, over the water.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Yeah, they mentioned the Christmas the last time they did. That was 2016.
Ooh,
they did
a holiday. That feels like that was just yesterday.
That time was a 5-minute show featuring 300 drones.
These are so cool. And Paris has the coolest nighttime show around their castle. Like, I want this in a park.
It said Disney began testing drones at Disney Springs earlier this year. following the their popularity in Disneyland Paris with recent offerings including Disney Electrical Sky Parade, which uses 500 drones to recreate moments from the classic Disney Main Street Electrical Parade. That sounds pretty cool, actually.
Yes. Imagine what you could do with, like, 10,000 drones.
I know. Do you think they're doing this only because it's over the water and it couldn't hurt anybody?
I'm sure that's part of it.
Yeah.
So that would only really be an option in Epcot or, like...
Do it over the Seven Seas Lagoon.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be interesting.
Or mm-hmm. Crescent Lake.
Or you could do it far enough away where it's outside of... Like, you could do it behind Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Would you still be able to see it?
Yeah. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, the fireworks are launched from pretty far away.
Or you could just close Fantasyland like they do anyway for fireworks.
Just let those drones crash down.
Yeah, let them crash down. They're just, like, going through.
I mean, how often do they say
it? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm saying that like it's a common occurrence, right, but I don't know.
I guess they could do it at Animal Kingdom, too, around the lake. I mean...
Just do it over the Savannah.
That would be a nice little nighttime show.
For
Animal Kingdom.
Wasn't that supposed to be what the Jungle Book thing was like?
Kite-tails?
Oh, my God. We have gone through such an evolution of that. Those Animal Kingdom shows have been...
They spent all that money on that seating.
Amphitheater. And now it's where... nothing.
They could do a drone show there.
Really?
They could. I think you need a lot of room to launch and land these things.
Mm.
Right? You need somewhere where you're going to 300 drones.
I miss kite tails.
I saw this blank look on your face. I was wondering what was going through.
Just thinking about that. Like, that kite. When Baloo would just
break his neck into the...
Yeah, just reminiscing about...
That was such a fun show.
It's great. I loved it.
You know what? I am going to ask my dumb question. So the current nighttime spectacular at Epcot, that's it, right? That's the one. Luminous. That's what we got. And there's nothing else. Like, that's it.
Okay. Symphony of Us.
The Symphony of Us. Okay. All right. I was just wondering because I know that was, I mean, we saw it. It was new, but I didn't know if there was
if there's an end in sight.
Yeah, no, like if we were in flux there.
What an objective way to say, like, I saw it, I was there, it exists, it is new.
It is new. Is that it for news, Rob?
That is it. Yes.
Yeah. Alright, well, man, we had a ton. We were kind of like playing it by ear of how much new... I had a feeling that news would be so momentous of a topic that we wouldn't really have much time for anything else. I know that Scott had a little thing planned, so I'll leave that fish on the line I'll leave that bait on the line
for a future podcast.
But does anyone have any last call items?
I do.
Oh.
So we like to shout out when we get 5-star reviews on iTunes, and we got a new one. It dates back from January 21st, so apologies to Catherine M. Portraits, and I don't think it's our Catherine.
It's not your Catherine.
So she said, I can't see the whole title the way it cuts. It says a welcome break with my... quote, I don't know what the rest of the title says, but it says, I started listening during the pandemic to get my Disney fix. I listened to several Disney podcasts, but this one is my fave. I like the news portion. Thanks. Sometimes I know more about the parks, etc. than they do.
Thanks.
Don't like that. But they have turned me on to bars and restaurants that I haven't tried. I love when they do games and matchups. I enjoy the energy of the banter, and I feel like I'm with my buds talking about our favorite place. They're not a quote-unquote rope drop to fireworks crowd. And I appreciate that
can be
Disney fanatics and still have a chill attitude toward vacations and Disney in general. A good listen. So thank you, Catherine M. Portraits.
Thank you.
Yeah
we are not a rope drop to fireworks crowd at all. We're like meandering at 11:30 and stay till
have
like 2.
Have one drink and then turn around and go back. But
hit the pool, maybe go to Disney Springs in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
See a drone show.
Wherever the wind takes us.
Yeah, that's right.
For real.
That's right. Happy to fill that niche for you all. Yeah. Being the lazy Disney adults.
Amen.
All right. Awesome.
I kind of like that as a tagline. The laziest Disney podcast
yes.
on iTunes.
I feel like I've changed since going to the park so much that before it's like, oh, I got to do this. I got to do this, that, and that. Now I'm just kind of like, meh, if I get to it, I get to it.
Well, look,
if I
the
don't,
reality
I don't,
is
like,
we've been now going as a group for close to 10 years.
Yeah.
So you've seen us age from like early
doing
30s.
The 24-hour event. Like that, could you imagine us doing the 24-hour event? I'm straight up in bed at 10 o'clock on vacation.
Adult beverages?
Yeah, I know. For real.
I was in my...
I mean, a small part of me died at the one Halloween party where I was wearing those rope
sandals,
things. That Scott is dead.
I found my 24-hour t-shirt. I was cleaning out the closet and I'm like, aw,
remember
that?
This. That was a long time ago.
Clubbing in the middle of in front
MK,
of the castle.
I was in my 20s.
No, you weren't.
I was
you?
In my 30s.
I mean, when we started.
Yeah,
would have been.
Yeah.
I think I was just 30.
Yeah. Memories.
Mid-30s for us.
Anyway, any other last calls? I was just about to say top note off. Don't want to steal your thunder, Matt.
Thanks.
All right, well, cheers.
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 Thank you for listening to WDW Happy Hour. Please like us on Facebook and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter. If you enjoy the podcast, we encourage you to share by telling your friends and also writing a nice review on iTunes. Cheers!